Look down upon us, O gracious Holy Spirit of God. Grant us for our hallowing such thoughts as pass into love, such love as passes into prayer, such prayers as pass into life eternal with you, now and forever. Amen. I want to tell you about two trees that feature in my life on an annual basis. The first is the Christmas tree. It's artificial and it usually lives in the garage. Every December, there's a lot of work digging it out from storage, trying to remember how to assemble it, unfurling the bunched branches that were scrunched together to make it more compact, bringing out the decorations and decorating it. There's often a bit of a dispute about where they ought to go. Stringing the lights around the tree and trying to make sure that they're balanced. It's an awful lot of work, and it's usually fun. But a few short weeks later in January, all that work happens in reverse, as the lights are taken down, the decorations carefully stored away, and the tree deconstructed. And in the somber post-Christmas lull that January occasionally brings, I sometimes wonder, was all that work really worth it? My second tree is very different. It's the apple tree at the bottom of the garden. And in winter, while all the fuss is going on indoors, it just stands there. But when spring arrives, the leaves come out. Then it blossoms with beautiful pink flowers. And when you get to this point in the summer, you can see little apples growing. And soon they'll ripen. And one day the tree will be bursting, filled with fruit, and the harvest can begin. And until that moment, the tree has cost me no work at all. I've just watched the life within it, bringing forth its fruit. Paul writes to the Galatians this morning about two very different ways of life. One brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. The other manifests the works of the flesh. For Paul believes that there are two realms in which we might live. The realm of the Spirit is one. This is the realm of human life directed and empowered by the breath of God. Human life inspired by the Spirit of Jesus to follow and obey Christ and live as God desires. It is life firmly in this world, the life of our bodies and stuff and relationships and labour. But it's life imbued with divine grace. Life touched by God, in which the Spirit produces fruit. The other realm is the realm of the flesh. This is life lived apart from God, either ignoring him or consciously opposing him. It's human life lived as though that's all there is. And so the flesh life is prone to competition, self-assertion, hedonism, narcissism. If there's no higher power to pay attention to than myself, I will quite likely become the very thing that consumes most of my attention. If there is no greater good in the universe than my own pleasure, my pleasure can easily become the center of my world. The flesh is not a good realm to live in, though its inhabitants might imagine there can be no other. And if nothing else, all of that enmity and strife and jealousy and envy and anger, all the stuff that Paul described to the Galatians, it sounds like an awful lot of work. The realm of the flesh sounds a very exhausting place. So the fruit of the Spirit, the works of the flesh, I wonder which we desire to see manifested in our lives. Now, just to complicate things a little, I need to say that fruit can be bad too. Jesus speaks of people who live like an evil tree. There's some poison, some bitterness in the heart of their life that makes them live in a way that reveals bad fruit. And work isn't all bad.
It's what Adam's called to do in the garden. It's Paul's vocation too, or part of it. He writes about his labours as an evangelist and apostle. And in the gospel, following Jesus is likened to ploughing a furrow with some oxen. That sounds like something that requires effort and application, concentration. There's an element of work within discipleship. Work isn't inherently bad. But for Paul, it often can be something that gets in the way, that misleads us. He speaks often to the Galatians of the works of the law as a thing to be avoided. The idea that salvation comes through what we do, rather than through Jesus and what he's given. For there are some teachers telling the Galatians in the first century that the men have got to be circumcised and that the whole church has got to follow the Jewish laws around food and purity if they are indeed to be saved. And Paul opposes this utterly. He says this will be fatal to their following of Christ. For if they rely on works of the law, they may either imagine that salvation is their own achievement, or if they do acknowledge that God is saving them through the law, they still empty the cross of Christ of its power. For it becomes the law, not the sacrifice of Jesus, that brings redemption. So, says Paul, works of the law are to be avoided, they cannot save. And the works of the flesh must be shunned, for they bring catastrophe. If you invest your effort and energy in sorcery, idolatry, licentiousness, carousing, I'm not going to go through the whole list, you will shrivel your soul. You will poison your relationships. You will embitter the world. The reward for such works will be damaged lives, a broken society. One or two who've served as street pastors, I think, can witness to the works of the flesh in our town at the weekend. So, says Paul, live another way. Accept your freedom from the law, but do not let it give you license to be licentious. Embrace your freedom from the law, but do not think, therefore, that anything goes, and so indulge yourself. For your freedom from the law is freedom to live in the Spirit, the life that's meant to be lived, the life that is a gift from God, to be hallowed, held sacred, reverenced, the life that can be graced and inspired by the Spirit. Now, this life is not one that can, I think, be bought off the shelf. It's not some program or course with a set of tick boxes that you can fill in to show how much you're achieving. I think it's more like growing fruit in the garden. It's more like what happens with my apple tree. Expose yourself to the sunlight of Christ through scripture and sacrament. Let his luminous work begin within you. Breathe in the fresh air of the Spirit of God as you pray and sing and open your heart in praise. Let the Holy Spirit ventilate your soul. Get drenched in the refreshing water of life, the water that wells up, the water of the Spirit of Jesus in baptism, or the life of the baptized. Be a bit like my apple tree, receiving the light and wind and water that come from God, so that the fruit may grow. And you'll begin to see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control harvesting in your life. I wonder which of those fruits you see growing most as you follow Jesus in the way. That's a question I often ask candidates for baptism and confirmation If anyone else is thinking about those sacraments, I'd love to explore them with you. But which fruits are growing? Which fruits is God growing in your life? It's a good question to ask from time to time. And equally, when I talk about those nine fruits with my candidates, I and they realise that we need much more of some of them in our lives if we are to be faithful Christians. I wonder which of those fruits this morning you might long for. Long for some more of as you follow Jesus. But whether it's patience or faithfulness or self-control or kindness or joy or whichever, yearn for it, pray for it, implore the Spirit to bring it to you. Don't try to manufacture it on your own. Be guided by the Spirit, says St. Paul. I will try to heed the Apostle's words when I next construct that Christmas tree. I will pray for the Spirit's grace to know joy as I'm doing it. No stress about whether one of the branches is in the wrong place. I will pray for the Spirit's grace to know love while I'm doing it. There need be no disputes about the positions of the ornaments. I will pray for the Spirit's grace to know peace as I do it. No competition needed with the amazing lights at the end of the street. No envy required for those incredible decorations that will be round the corner. No works of the flesh when I set up for Christmas, I pray. Just a faithful gratitude for the gift of Jesus, whose spirits can grace our lives each and every day of the year. As we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us with your gifts. Inspire us to bear your fruit.